The Chicago Tribune is not happy with the choices some voters are thinking of making this year. A January 24th editorial complained, quote, "Democrats and Republicans usually find comparatively safe, steady options. But this year, risky and disruptive options are in vogue. The way the campaign is going, it's easy to imagine that in 2016, voters in the sensible center will find themselves abandoned by the major parties," close quote. Set aside the idea that safe means the same thing to everyone in a community as diverse as that of voters, the candidates the paper names as uncomfortably close to the cliff, thus putting parties at risk of being smashed on the rocks below, are Republicans Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, and on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders. The Tribune offers reasons its disfavored candidates are patently unsuitable. Quote, "Trump has done his best to alienate Latinos, blacks, Muslims, women, and anyone with an aversion to Sarah Palin. Cruz is widely despised by fellow Republican senators, and his over-the-top rhetoric, such as vowing to carpet bomb the Islamic State, is music only to the GOP's right wing. Sanders brandishes a label that a Gallup poll found would automatically make him unacceptable to nearly half the public," close quote. So disqualifying qualities in a candidate include rank racism, religious hatred and misogyny, a commitment to mass slaughtering civilians, and socialism. One of these things is not like the others. The idea that you can't be president if you believe in socialism, which Sanders defines as a government that works for the many, not the few, rests heavily on that Gallup poll, which found that 50% of respondents said they would not vote for a socialist. Well, the poll also found that 38% said they would not vote for a Muslim, but the Tribune wouldn't likely cite that as the sole and obvious reason no one should vote for a Muslim politician. 40% said they wouldn't vote for an atheist, which Sanders is widely, though apparently wrongly, believed to be. But the paper doesn't cite that either, probably because corporate media in general treat religious prejudice as a shameful thing, whereas capitalist institutions like media conglomerates tend to see an aversion to socialism as normal and healthy. Of course, voters wouldn't be asked to vote for a socialist, but for a specific person, Bernie Sanders. And whatever media gatekeepers think, a lot of folks seem to suggest they would do just that. In polls pitting him against the candidate that the Tribune says is best positioned to capture the broad, sensible center, Jeb Bush, Sanders leads by an average of 3 percentage points. The thing is, the elements of Sanders' platform that elite media are most likely to associate with socialism, things like universal publicly funded health care and eliminating tuition at public colleges, are just plain popular with the public. But anyone who takes such ideas seriously is bound to fail establishment media's seriousness test. So, Donald Trump has called for banning an entire religious group from the country and doesn't have a problem with supporters assaulting protesters at his rallies. He's lied about seeing thousands of Muslims cheer 9/11, about crime statistics, and Obama's place of birth. He's made fun of a reporter's disability and claimed global warming was created by the Chinese. He calls African Americans the blacks, talks about dating his daughter, and complains about female reporters with blood coming out of their wherever. And then he said he wouldn't attend a debate held by Fox News, leading to this headline in the January 27th Washington Post, quote, "Skipping Fox debate is Trump's first major misstep," close quote. Well, all right then. Finally, indictment deals blow to GOP over Planned Parenthood battle, was the New York Times choice of headline for a January 26th piece reporting on a Washington state grand jury set to investigate the Women's Health Organization for selling fetal tissue for profit, finding no wrongdoing there, and instead indicting members of the anti-abortion group that made the deceptive video promoting the allegation. From the story, you get that this, quote, "startling sign that a Republican campaign against the group has run into trouble," close quote, might pose problems for a Ted Cruz candidacy, and that the war on women narrative is part of the Democratic playbook. You even learn in the 22nd paragraph of the 22-paragraph piece that Planned Parenthood doesn't sell fetal tissue for profit. What you don't get, really, is any sense that something as vital as a woman's control over her own childbearing is at stake here. A new report from the Women's Media Center gets at part of why that's true. Looking at a year's worth of coverage in big papers and wire services, the study found that women journalists wrote just 37% of articles about reproductive issues. 52% were written by men, the rest unbylined. In quotes from individuals, quotes from men in articles about reproductive issues outnumbered those from women 41-33%. Male reporters tell 67% of presidential election stories related to abortion and contraception. This is all connected to the fact that reproductive rights are still largely presented in the media as political controversies or culture war pawns. The study found that female journalists were more likely than males to use quotes that addressed the issues primarily as matters of women's health. Media's partisan conflict frame, says the study author Jill Filipovich, crowds out the message of reproductive rights advocates that, quote, abortion and contraception are normal, that abortion and contraception are moral, and women need the power to plan their families, close quote. Even in stories that include a pro forma defense of the right to choose, how often have you heard that said? You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.